Good to see everybody this morning. It's strange. Well, it's not strange. The Lord is always good, but I do a Thursday morning study and at church. And this past Thursday, right after I get done, I open up and start studying for the next one because it takes me a week to get things together. Instead, I picked up something else and started reading through. And the Lord said, this would be good for the folks at Macedon. And I go, oh, great. I said, but I'm not going to be there for a while. Cardi's not going away. Cardi's not going on vacation for a while. I don't need this, so I put it down. And for the life of me this morning, when Cardi told me I was doing it, I couldn't remember where it was. So you're getting the second sermon. You aren't going to get the first one because I have no idea what it was. I'm going to go back and try and remember where that was. But it's good to be here. It's good to see you all. It's so good. The worship songs were great. They're just what I needed to calm down, to not be distracted, and to just be settled before Him and just to worship Him. Because He's the reason we're here. Amen. And He's who we need to have. So if you would, open up with me to John chapter 4. And once you get there, let's pray for Cardi again. And just all the things that are going on in the world. I don't know if you noticed, but the world's a mess. It's not getting a whole lot better, but it's so cool to see. As you look at Ezekiel, you see all the nations that are surrounding Israel right now, and it's all the nations that are in Ezekiel that are going to come and attack Israel. It was just in the news just a couple of days ago, because Turkey has now been allowed to come into Syria. That was the last nation to come in. And Turkey and Russia are now patrolling together in Syria. It's just, oh Lord, how soon the hook is in the jaw, ready to come. But the exciting part is we're going first. So I'm looking forward to going home. I would love to be home, but the Lord has told us to occupy till He comes. So we get settled in, right? So, Father, we just thank You for Your word, the truth of it. Lord, You told us hundreds of years ago that these things were going to happen. And Lord, for centuries, people have said, no, can't be. It's never going to happen. And yet, Lord, everything that You've said has come to pass. And everything that You have for us, Lord, is going to come to pass. And we just thank You so much that we have a God that we can depend on, that we have the true and the living God. We don't have a God made out of wood or made out of stone. We have a true and living God that has spoken the world into existence, that knew us before the foundation of the world, that knew us before we were even formed in the womb. And we're just so thankful, Father, that You're that close to us, that You're that intimate with us, that You know everything about us. Nothing surprises You. Lord, we get surprised. We get amazed at things that are going on, and yet, Lord, You already knew. And so we just look to You this morning, Lord, that You would speak to our hearts, that You'd open Your word to us, minister to us, and just free us, Lord, from those things that are still holding us in bondage, that are still holding us and keeping us distracted from Your word, from the truth of it, from the ways that we need to go. And Father, just settle us now in who You are, that we would trust You no matter what comes, Lord. And Father, we think of Cardi this morning, certainly not expecting to be in the hospital twice this week, certainly not expecting, Lord, the things that have happened in his life, and yet, Lord, You already knew. And so settle him this morning, Lord, that he could hear You speak and just hear You minister to his life, that he would just rejoice in Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, You've given him many years to walk with You. And we're just so thankful for that, Father. Just pray You'd speak to him and minister to him. Give Pat wisdom on how to minister to him when she gets home, on how to pray for him, when to speak to him. and when to zip the lip, Lord, and just let you tell him what he needs to hear. So, Father, have your way with us, and we're just so thankful that we can come to you now. We're thankful in Jesus' name because of him. Amen. So John chapter 4, the last time I was here, we did the woman at the well, and we're just going to continue on from there. Remember, she had come, and he was sitting right in the way of where she wanted to go. And so she meets this man, this stranger, this Jew, that she had looked at with disdain, probably, because he was in the way of where she wanted to go. And he ministers to her. And at the end of it, where we finished up last time, it says, God, in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ, and when he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am. And that's got to bring to remembrance for her, God saying, I am the great I am. Remember, he told Moses, I am that I am. And he speaks to her and he tells her, I am God. I want to be God of your life. And what a wonderful thing when God speaks to his people and says, I want to be God over your life. We all have to submit to some kind of authority. We're all in authority somewhere. Whether you run your own company or not, you're still under authority of the laws of the land and the laws of the government. Even though it's not the best of governments, it's still better than some. But we're all under authority somewhere. And isn't it wonderful when we can come face to face with the true and the living God, whose ultimate authority is going to reign over all. And one day he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron here on this earth. And things will be back in order the way that they're supposed to be. Can't wait for that day either. Can you imagine a government without tweets? I'm not saying anything. No. But anyway, he goes on and it says, and upon this came his disciples. The disciples show back up. He had to send them away to go get some food. Notice, how many guys does it take to get food? You know, you wonder. It took 12 guys to go out and get food. Just why couldn't some of them stay? Because Jesus had to get them out of the way because he had to meet one-on-one with this person, just like he needs to meet with you and I one-on-one. And I pray that you're spending that quality time with Jesus in the morning, during the day, somewhere, somehow, that you meet one-on-one with Jesus. Because if other people are around, they're going to be a distraction, no matter what. When you meet one-on-one with the Lord, that's the best time that you should have during the day, is that time that you can meet with the true and the living God, with the risen Lord, and just submit to him for the day. And here comes the disciples. They're coming back. I can't imagine the noise level that comes in. James and John waiting to call down thunder on everybody. Thomas coming in. Well, I doubt anything good is going to come in today. Just all the disciples coming back in, and this woman sees them coming back in, and Jesus sees them. He knows they're coming. He's finished his conversation with her. He has ministered to her all that she needed to have to come to salvation. And so upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that Jesus talked with a woman. And yet no man, not one of them said, what are you doing? Not one of them said, Jesus, do you know what you're doing? By the way, we know you're God, but do you know what you're doing, God? None of you would ever say that to God, would you, during your day? Like, God, do you really know that I really don't need cancer today? Did you know that, Lord? Lord, did you know that my knee really doesn't need surgery, that I really don't want to go through pain anymore? God, you know it's time for me to go home and just be free of this body. None of us would ever do that with God. Okay, I'm lying. We do. We do it all the time. We're just like the disciples. We can't point fingers at them and say, what a bunch of foolish guys. they were, but they're just like us. And we come to God sometimes in so many different ways, and yet we all come somehow with different circumstances, we come to the same place. And isn't it wonderful that we can come to a God that loves us, that wants to change us, that wants to conform us to his image, and not leave us in the place that he found us. I am so glad I'm still not a drunk and a druggie. I am so glad that now I can worship somebody that I know instead of somebody or something that I thought might be God sometime. That I don't have to depend on a certain language to get to God, that I can come to him with my heart open and just say, Lord, I need you today. Isn't it wonderful? And here come the disciples. They're here, and they want to minister. They're bringing the food. And the woman then left her water pot and went on her way to the city and saith unto the men, it's strange this too. Why'd she go to the men? Remember, she's been married 5 times. She's living with a guy now. She knows most of the men of the city. She doesn't go to the women. She goes to the men. And says, come see this guy. Isn't it wonderful that once you meet the true and the living God, your witness automatically begins? And you most of you probably did the same thing with your families. You got saved, and you went home to your families going, oh, are they going to be so excited to hear that I'm a born-again believer? And you come in and go, I got born again. And they go, oh. And the excitement that you have is definitely not on their faces. And they look at you and go, come back at Thanksgiving and pray for the meal, and we'll have you in the house. But other than that, just please stay away. It's amazing, isn't it? But I'm so glad God accepts us in the Beloved. And it's wonderful. Don't be discouraged by that. Be encouraged. You're being a witness no matter what their reaction is. You're witnessing. And just carry the joy that Jesus has given you no matter what the world says about you. The world isn't going to like you. Jesus said, if the world hated me, they're going to hate you. And they do. The world hates Christians. In fact, on the government's watch list, you are a terrorist organization. Really? You guys look like terrorists. Glad we didn't have metal detectors at the front to check your bags as you came in, but you're a terrorist. Fundamental Christians are a terrorist organization to the government. Isn't that amazing? I didn't know I had that much power. It's kind of fun being known as a criminal here, huh? If Jesus was a criminal, wasn't he? If he was a criminal, hey, we're in good company, huh? And yet he still loves us. But she goes to the men and she says, come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Who knows everything that we ever did? I can't even remember my childhood much anymore. I'm at that age where I'm glad I remembered. I got to do this to Frank. I'm sorry. But Frank comes up to me during fellowship, and he goes, you know, I looked down at my feet, and I had my shoes on the wrong feet. It's great. Well, at least you remember the shoes, you know. At our age, you never know what's going to happen when you go outside. But here we are. Come see a man that told me everything that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? What a long way this woman has come. When she first meets Jesus, she calls him, aren't you a Jew? And then down in verse 11 and 15, she calls him, sir. And then down in verse 19, she says, well, I'm getting impressed by you. I'm starting to grow in this relationship here. I think you're a prophet. And now she says, isn't this Christ? And don't we do the same thing in our relationship with Jesus and how we see the Lord? First, he's just somebody that's talked about, and we use his name in vain often. You know, how come nobody ever says, oh, Buddha, when things go wrong or when they want to swear? You know, why can't they say something else? But they always have to use that name. Isn't there something about that name? And I'm so glad we can use it in the right way now and mean it and know that it's true. And she goes, isn't this the Christ? And in our relationships, he should be growing in your life. He's not just somebody that you read about as a kid. He's not just somebody that you go to in the Lord's Prayer. He's not just somebody that you think of when you're reading the 23rd Psalm, but he's somebody that you're growing in relationship with, and he's no longer this Jew that's come out. He's no longer this man on the cross, that he's the risen Christ for you now. And in our relationships, they're going to grow every day. They're going to grow in every circumstance. We're going to see Jesus in every circumstance. And that's why it's so wonderful when we go to the places like the hospitals, when we go to places like nursing homes or the grocery stores, that we can be in there and we can see Jesus in the midst. And it, that relationship just grows, and he's no longer just somebody that's foreign to us. He's somebody that we have a relationship with, that we can see him moving in every place that we're in and what he has for us in those places. But we start out going, Lord, why have you got me here? And then we grow to that place, well, you've got me here because here's this woman who can't stop her mouth from flapping, and they're all four-letter words, Lord. I guess you got me here so I can pray for her. See, in every relationship, in every circumstance, our relationship with Jesus, our thoughts of who Jesus is in that place is going to grow. It's almost like we're starting all over again, and we grow through the day and we grow through that circumstance until we come to the place where, God, you're over all and you're in control of everything. And I'm so thankful you've got me here for this. Oh, what a wonderful time when we can come into that place and just know, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You have delivered me in this circumstance today. Thank you for growing me in it that I could know you. And thank you for being here, that you never left me or forsake me. So this woman comes into town, and instead of coming into town looking for another husband, and the guy's all going, nope, my wife's around the corner, don't come near me. She comes into that place of proclaiming that I have met Jesus. Can you imagine their faces? Wait a minute, I just saw you with your third, fourth, fifth husbands. And now you're living with a guy, and now you're saying you met Jesus? What, is he going to be your next husband? The disdain, probably the shying away from her. And yet it didn't stop her joy from saying, I have met Jesus. Oh. And the world remembers what we used to be. Aren't you thankful that Jesus doesn't remember what you used to be? You're a brand new creature in Christ now, and Jesus loves you. Oh, that's so wonderful. You mean you're not going to bring up my past? Nah, I cast all your sins as far as the east is from the west behind me. I don't remember anymore. Oh, thank you, Lord. Because I don't need to remember. The enemy reminds us enough, doesn't he? Our own flesh reminds us enough of what we used to be, of what we used to do. It's so awful when you sit there and all of a sudden you start thinking of things that have come from the past 20, 30, 40 years ago. And you go, oh, why does they have to come up now? And Jesus goes, I don't remember it. Oh, thank you, Lord, for freeing me from the past and setting me free to walk in the future. And so this woman comes, and she comes to the men of the city, and she goes, isn't this the Christ? Isn't this the one who has come to set us free? Isn't this the one who God has promised that was going to come and set us free from all the bondages of the ways of the world? And they then went out of the city, and they came unto him. They came out from that place that was a distraction, and they came into that place where Jesus was. Jesus wants to meet with us, but it's not going to be in the place of our distractions. It's going to be outside the gates of those confines. It's going to be in a place where we're set free. Lord, in the city I can't be free, but out here with you I'm free. Until we can learn to be free no matter where we are, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Are you free this morning from all those things? Are you free from those notices in the mail that say, hey, we're going to foreclose on your house? Isn't it amazing? We just, My flesh is coming out, so don't worry about it. Just pass by. You can delete this from the tape and whatever you want to. Oh, there's no more tapes, are there? They're all CDs. I'm so far behind, I don't know where I am. But RG&E, some days I just really love those guys. Other days I just go, can't I just get free from this? I was 2 days late in mailing off my RG&E bill. Don't I get a thing in the mail? This is your final termination notice. You are going under. What? I paid the stupid thing. Oh, I sent it off 2 days late. Your final termination notice? Oh. You aren't going to give me a chance? The world doesn't want to give you a chance. But God is the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. But once we die, once we pass from this body into eternity, folks, there are no second chances. I know there's a lot of faiths that try and tell you that there's soul sleep, that there's everything else, that once you get into Hades, that there's going to be another chance for you to get to heaven. Folks, today is the day of salvation. Not after you pass from here. There is no chances then. Make your calling and election sure today. Be sure of who you are in Jesus. There are no termination and notices in heaven, thank goodness. He's going to take care of all that. I'm so glad. I don't know where that one went, but hey, we're back now. And so the men come out of the city and they came to Jesus. Notice they didn't stay with the woman. Where did they go? They went to the one she was talking about. And that's where we always want to draw folks, is to Jesus, not to us in what he did in our lives, but to the one who can set them free. Because they have a different set of bondages, they have a different set of parameters, they have a different lifestyle, they have different things that they're dealing with that they need to meet Jesus with, because I can't help them. I can't save you. This building cannot save you. Calvary Chapel cannot save you. Jesus saves. Scripture says it clearly. Jesus is our Savior. Not this church, not me, Him. That's who we always bring people to. And that's where they went to. And thank goodness for that. Because otherwise it would just be another cult build up with a name on a building that meant absolutely nothing, because the glory of the Lord is not there. There's only one place there's glory of the Lord, and that's with the Lord. And that's why we come to Him. That's why the Word is open. That's why we pray to Him. That's why we come to Him and ask Him. That's why we talk to Him and worship Him. And so they come unto Him, and in the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. Notice what they're concerned about. Hey, Jesus, it's time for dinner. I don't think they were so concerned about Jesus eating. I think they just wanted Him to bless the food and say, hey, let's go. KFC is here. Let's get it on. Where's the bibs? And so His disciples are looking at Him. They're talking to Him. But Jesus says unto them, I have meat to eat that you don't know of. Can you imagine these poor guys? They've come out of the world just like you and I. And all of a sudden He looks at them, and they're sitting there with this scrumptious meal waiting for them, and they're smelling it, and they're going, I was thinking, shows where my mind is. When we were back there, I was thinking of Thanksgiving dinner and how good it's going to smell. And just like, really? I'm supposed to be worshiping, and I'm thinking of smelling a turkey, you know, just blowing through the rooms, and just, and you follow your nose out. But here they are, they're smelling it, they're getting ready to eat, and Jesus has got a whole different thing going on, doesn't He? And on our Friday night study, we've got a home study on Friday nights, and we're going through Exodus, and we're just at that place where Moses is up on the mount 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't take with Him a jug of water. Didn't take with Him, a lamb or a ram or a cow, and take it up there so He could have something to eat for 40 days. He didn't even know He was going to be there 40 days. But who sustained Him? It was the Lord. When we think we need to have something, it's because our flesh is reacting to the circumstances around us. But when our spirit is in that place of seeking nourishment and strength, there's only one place that we can go to get fulfilled. this meat, just like with the woman. She was looking for water to take back and cook with and wash dishes with and wash the clothes with and do all that stuff. Jesus had living water for her that was going to minister to her spiritually for eternity. We get so caught up with the day-to-day mundane things that we really forget the spiritual things that God wants to do in our lives. And he says, I've got meat to eat that you don't know of. But we're the apostles. We're your men. We're the guys. We're the leadership of the church, Jesus. What do you mean you got stuff that we don't know of? We know everything because we've been with you for a while now. We've seen you do miracles. We've seen you turn water into wine. Nobody else hardly has seen that happen, Jesus. We know what's going on. He says, you don't have a clue. And you know what? That is humbling, isn't it? Because I'm sitting here with pastor in front of my name, and Jesus goes, you don't have a clue what's going on, do you? No. I said, why do you think I tried Thursday to get you to study for Sunday? I don't know. He goes, because you don't have a clue what's happening, but I do. You think you're good on your own. You think you've got everything together, and you don't have a clue that on Sunday morning, you're going to text Cardi, and he's going to go, oh, go, Cardi, is that really you? Yeah. Oh, guess I'm doing something else today. And yet God's not surprised. We're surprised. God, I wasn't ready for this one. I know. And you know what? It's wonderful to get humbled. Not that I like getting humbled, but it's wonderful getting humbled. You know, sometimes I teach Bible studies and I go home and Kath looks at me and goes, how did you think Bible study went today? I thought it was good. She goes, really? Yeah, that that was my reaction too. Really? You didn't think it was good? Well, you kind of carried on, just like I am now. So let's get back to the word where there's real meat. I have meat to eat that you know not of. I have meat that you really need to have because you're going to be surprised at things. You're going to need to be humbled down because you don't have a clue, disciples, what's happening. But I've got things that are going on. I've got this relationship with my Father, and I want to bring you disciples into it. He wasn't chastising them to the place to send them away. He was ministering to their hearts so that they would be more in tune what was happening instead of less observant of the things that were happening. And that's what he always wants to do with us. He doesn't humble us for nothing. He humbles us to show us that we need him every single moment of every single day. And that is so wonderful for us because we are a dependent people. We're dependent on so many things, but he wants us to make us dependent on him. In John chapter 6 and verse 27, he says this, if I could find the right chapter, we'd be doing really good. Verse 27, he says, labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. Not that you earn, because you walked with the Lord for 15 years now, not that you've merited because you've taught us a couple Bible studies, not that you've earned because you prayed at the prayer meeting out loud for the first time in your life, and now you're proud because you got things going and you're in tune with who God is. Jesus is going to give it to you. Because we can't earn it, we can't merit it, we can't do enough to get right with God, so God gives it to us because he wants to give us the right things at the right time, in the right place. Oh, Lord, I am so out of it sometimes, Lord. He goes, I know, but we're getting there. We're working on this. One day, he says, for him hath God the Father sealed. And so they said unto him, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Because we all want to be workers for God. We all want to do great works and do great things for God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. And, oh, yeah, I'm ready. This is the work of God. This is what you can do for me. Believe what I told you. Really? That's it? there's no ABCD, there's no five-point sermon going on here? He goes, no, there's no 5 points. Just do one thing. Believe me. Ah, Lord, that's kind of hard some days. And it is, isn't it? In these earthly tents, it's hard to believe. God, you haven't left me today. It feels like you left me. God, how come I got this bill in the mail? God, how come I went to the doctor and he said cancer? Lord, how come I went to the doctor and he said Alzheimer's coming? Lord, how come I went to the doctor and he said, you know, you got 2 weeks left? Or for the parents of the kid that our grandson knows, found her in the hospital, dying. He's only a kid. Lord, I don't know what to do now. He said, believe me, trust me, and I'll bring you through this. Because I've got the heart you need to have. I've got the understanding that you don't have. And there's only one way you're going to find it. And that's by submitting to me and letting me humble you and bring you to a place of believing me that I am in control of this situation. Wonderful place to be. The men of the city come out. They come to see who this is. They come to see this Jesus that this woman says is the Messiah. They're coming out and they're desiring to meet with him. And the disciples are still waiting to eat. And they're going, has any man brought him food to eat? No. And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And that work was finished, wasn't it? What did Jesus say on the cross? It's so cool when you put all of Scripture together, isn't it? Because you see, boy, Lord, you got it all together. I could never write a book like this and tie everything together like that. I'm so amazed at some of these murder mysteries. My wife and I love murder mysteries. And we'll sit there and watch. And y'all, it's never the person that you think is guilty, is it? It's always somebody else. But God ties things together, and he does so in such a wonderful way that we go, man, I could never write a book like this, thousands of pages, and tie Genesis all the way to Revelation, and then put one word in there that will jump, it'll tie everything together and go, how do you do that, Lord? It's because his ways aren't our ways, and his thoughts aren't our thoughts, and I'm so thankful that we get to know the God who does that. Boy. He's got a love relationship with us that just doesn't end. And folks, if you don't know what real love is, if you're sitting there in a place where you're just kind of going through life and just kind of going from one day to the next without really understanding all that's going on, and then you finally come and meet Jesus, and he goes, this is what's happening. I'm going to finish the work. And Jesus said on the cross, after everything was done, the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, and the last saying he said was, it is finished. The work is done. Kaboom. Can you imagine? And you know what's so wonderful about it? You look at the tabernacle that the Jews were used to. You look at the outer courts, where the court of the women, the court of the men. You look at the brazen altar. You look at the place, the altar of sacrifice, the altar of incense, and you start going through the tabernacle, and you come in to the table of showbread, and we know that's about Jesus and the candlestick, and we know that's about the Holy Spirit. You go into the Holy of Holies where God himself dwells, Jehovah. There's not one chair in that place. And why is that? Because the priests never finished the work. And they couldn't sit down until the work was finished. And where do we see Jesus after he says on the cross, it's finished? The next time we see him, besides here on earth, it says that they saw him in heaven. Stephen, the martyr, saw him in heaven and saw the glory of God and saw Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father, because the work was finished. Jesus did the work that you and I can't do, because we could never finish it, so we could never sit down. But Jesus is our high priest, and he finished the work, and now we can sit at rest, because there's no more to do for sacrifice. Thank goodness for that, because otherwise, folks, you and I would have no hope of heaven. You and I would have no hope of eternity in peace with our loving Father. Instead, we would get what we deserved And what do we deserve? Death and hell is what we deserve. But we've got a God who loves us and who doesn't want us to go there. Oh, how thankful we can be. Thanksgiving's coming. We got a few things to be thankful for besides the smell of turkey. I'm getting hungry. So here, the disciples are still waiting to eat, and all these guys come out now. I don't know about you, but I looked at this, and they never get to eat. I don't know. Something happened here. But here they come, and Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so say ye not, are there yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look. Everybody was so busy looking at the circumstances around them that they never looked up to see that there was a whole world ready to come to Jesus or needing to come to Jesus. The things were white already for harvest, and they weren't ready to take it on. All these people were coming out of the city. The disciples are sitting there with their knives and their forks and their spoons in their hands, ready to eat, and they didn't even see the guys coming out of the city till the Lord says, look up and see that there's a great harvest out here. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor, and other men labored and are entered into their labors. And isn't it true that those things happen? Peter sees this firsthand. Because remember where Peter's going to go. We're going to see this centurion in a minute, but a centurion, maybe we won't. A centurion comes to Jesus and wants him to heal his son. And he goes back, and he's from Capernaum. And where does Peter go when he goes to see Cornelius? Goes to Capernaum. So another man had already started the work, and Peter enters into the labor that was already going on. And he just brings enlightenment to it. He just brings another part of the Lord to these people who had a semblance of relationship with the Lord but didn't know the fullness of the Lord. Aquila and Priscilla do that. Others have done it that we see in scriptures. And you know what, folks? You're going to touch people's lives. And others are going to come along and just add to it. Or others have already started ministering. And you just get to bring a piece of Jesus to them that they don't have. I love coming here. I've been coming with you guys for a while now, and it's almost like home seeing you guys. And it's wonderful because you add a piece of Jesus to me that I don't have anywhere else, that I need to see, because I need all of Jesus that I can get just to stand some days. And some days you guys bring that to me so that I can just stand. And it's wonderful what fellowship does, what those hugs do, what those handshakes do, what those smiles do to a heart that's troubled, to a heart that's hurting. And you're all hurting, I know that. But you know what? The fellowship of Jesus together with the body of believers is so wonderful that it comforts us and strengthens us through those times. And you guys are part of that. And what a blessing you are. And you're sitting there thinking, blessing. I haven't been a blessing since I was 4 years old and I did something right for my mom for the first time. Guess what? You just added to it. So here we go. Those poor disciples. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all than I ever did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode them there 2 days. And many more believed on him because of his word. Notice his word, not their word, his word. Many believed. You can't believe in who Jesus is except in his word. It isn't what somebody else is going to say. It's who the word himself says that he is. And he said, and they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of who you are and what you've done, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They came to the same place that the woman at the well had come to. This woman who was married four times, five times, living with a guy, shacking up with everybody that was coming through. She meets him at the well. He interrupts her life, and she goes through that whole process of saying, "Hey, you're a Jew. Hey, sir, you must be a prophet. Hey, you must be the Christ." And don't we do that in our lives? All the way through, and they come to the same place. Everybody goes through the same process, folks. You can't be instant Christian that knows everything about Jesus as soon as you get there. You go through the process of knowing him in different ways, in different areas, and he brings you to back to the truth every single time. It's so wonderful. You're the Christ, the Savior of the world. And doesn't this world need a Savior? And you know what, folks? He's already been here. The Jews sit there and say, we're waiting, and if Jesus comes, we're going to ask him if he's ever been here before. They say that to the Christians that go to Israel and the trips to Israel. They say, we're just going to ask him when he comes back. Because, you know, whenever you go, you want a witness, right? And so you witness to the Jews. And they say, yeah, we've heard it all before, that Jesus was the Messiah. We don't believe it. But when he comes, we'll ask him if he's ever been here before. He's going to say, yeah, I was standing right there. And you didn't believe me. I go, oh, thank goodness that we get to know him on this side of that, don't we? Oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm still not stuck in religion. Thank you, Lord, that I now have a relationship. I don't want to be religious. I hate that word. I hate religion. I love relationship. And Jesus brings that relationship to us. And it's such a good relationship. You know what? If and when I married my wife, if I never got past the day of saying, I do, well, we'll come back to it some other time. And now 40 years later, I'm going to go back and say, oh, by the way, what's your name again? what kind of a relationship was that? But you know what? Because of Jesus, he's brought our relationship to that place where we have a love right now that's so much better than anything the world ever had to offer and anything that we ever had in the world, because he's different and he's made us different and he's made us to grow together. That's a relationship that lasts, and it's only because of Jesus. It's not because of anything else. And that same relationship, he wants to work into your life and my life to make us grow with him and into him into such a wonderful way that we can be Christians that people can look at, that the world can look at and say, there's somebody that's got something that I don't have. And I look at Christians sometimes and I go, I wish I had a relationship with Jesus like that they have, because I don't have that part. And you guys represent that. And you guys do that to the world. You show that to the world. And boy, what a blessing you are, and you don't even know it. And Jesus does that on purpose, because if you knew that you were a blessing to the world, you'd be walking around prancing. You know how some of the guys walk down the street that you see? You know, they got that limp or that thing that they do, and they're bouncing down the street, and you go, whoa, they got something all right. But that's the pride that was going to enter in. And Jesus works that work in your life that you don't even know about. And all of a sudden, you're going to realize it later that God has done a work in you and you didn't even know he took you there. That's what a love relationship does. It brings you to a place that you don't even know you're going to, because you wouldn't go there on your own. You'd only go there because you're walking in love with somebody who's bringing you to a wonderful place that you didn't even know existed. I never knew it could be this good in religion. When I was growing up in the church, I couldn't wait till I turned 13, because my parents were always in church, and I was an usher. At 13, you couldn't be an usher till you were 13. It was a rule, one of them rules. And here I am, just waiting. I'm 13, I can be an usher now. I don't have to sit in those pews anymore. I could sit in the back. And I was so wonderful as a kid that I took the furthest seat in the back of the ushers, just so when the sermon started, because 13-year-olds know everything, right? I was in the furthest seat so that I could sneak out go down in the basement, go through the kitchen, go out the kitchen, go over to the pharmacy across the street, have two cigarettes at 13, come back without smelling like a cigarette, come through the kitchen area, come back to my chair, and the pastor goes, amen. Because his sermons were always 20 minutes long. So he had time for two cigarettes, out in, got it. Oof, amazing. But that's what religion does. Relationship says, I want to sit here and listen to the one who's speaking to me, and I want to grow and go to places that I would never go where I would go in the world. Because Jesus does a different work than the world does. And folks, you may not like where you are right now with Jesus, but you know what? You're going to like where you end up. And the more you grow in love with him, the more you grow in tune to who he is and what he has for your life, the more you're going to love every minute you spend with him. Because that's what Jesus does. So after 2 days, he departed thence and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. And we don't have time to go on, and I'm sorry, but thanks for putting up with me. But God has a love for you folks that is just well beyond anything you think can be good right now. And you may be in a place in your walk with him right now where it's grown stale, where it's running a little hard and harsh, where it's running a little long for you to deal with. And yet there's a freshness of Jesus that you need to see, that I need to see every single day. And sometimes you're so busy getting dinner ready that you forget to see the world white with harvest, just like the disciples. And those interruptions that come into your life may not be interruptions after all, but may just be a place of blessing, a place of promise, a place of hope that you didn't even know existed. And maybe some of you don't even know Jesus, and you don't know what a love relationship is. You don't know what real love is. You think it's lust. You think it's driven by other things. And Jesus said, no, it's a whole different thing than that. The world has turned it into something dirty and awful and rotten. We've made it disposable, haven't we? We've made love relationships in the world disposable. We sign prenups now. Hey, if I don't get along with you and you don't get along with me, we'll just go find somebody else. Folks, there is nobody else besides Jesus. There is no better relationship. And it gets better every day. And if you're in that place of thinking, maybe not, then you need to get along with Jesus for a minute and let him encourage you, let him strengthen you, and let him just lift you up to see the beauty of who he is. Father, we just thank you so much for your word, for the truth of it, for all that you do in and through it, Lord. We see ourselves in so many ways, Lord. We see ourselves like the woman who was so busy that you interrupted her life and she was upset with it, that she had gone through life just going from one thing to another and never being satisfied until you came, Lord, and met with her. We can be like the disciples who are so busy feeding their own flesh that they never saw the things that you saw that were coming. Maybe like the men in the city who didn't even know anything was going on outside the city till somebody else told them. And then they came to see it themselves, that you were real, that you were true. And Lord, you want to be real and true in each one of our circumstances and each one of our lives today. So Father, help us to have eyes to see, like you tell the churches in Revelation, Lord. You tell every one of the churches, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, may we have ears to see, ears to hear, and eyes to see this morning, Lord, the things that you have for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. May it become reality in our lives, Lord. And may we walk through this day. And Lord, as we go out from here under this hedge of protection, as it were, Lord, we enter into a world that wants to cut us off and bang us up and throw us away. And yet, Lord, you want something so much better for us. May we see that as we go. May we lift up our eyes and see who you are in the midst of it, Lord. We just love you. We thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these folks, Lord, that have been so patient with me. And just thank you for loving them so much that they can be a blessing to me. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.